impacts them every day. I think we're gonna do a great job.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to the Modern Man Podcast, where we connect men in pursuit of their potential. Join us as we embrace discomfort, cultivate community, and put wind in each other's sails. And if you're ready to take your personal and professional growth to the next level, be sure to like, share, and subscribe to the podcast. Also, don't forget to check out the Noble Knights Mastermind Group, where you'll find the support, accountability, and mentorship you need to achieve your goals. Join us and become a part of a community of like-minded men on a mission to improve themselves and elevate their capacity for life. And I'm excited to get some wind in our sails today from founder, CEO, personality, and speaker, Rick Jordan. Rick, thanks for being on, brother.
What's shaking, man? It's my pleasure to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know we're going to have a great conversation, but I want to make sure to give an opportunity to the guests to get acquainted with the audience without my voice in between. So really quick, take the podcast. This is the quote unquote all-in podcast for a second. All yours to go ahead and talk to the folks.
I love that. Thanks for the shameless plug too. Yeah, my show is called All In with Rick Jordan.
Yeah.
And it's been over 400 something episodes now too, man, which is pretty awesome. I'm just grateful for it. And it's, you know, I want to use the word inevitable, right? Inevitable success. And I say that, you know, maybe this is the direction our conversation is going to go today. But it's like, I look back at everything, you know, my history going from business and technology into entrepreneurship, founding a cybersecurity company, taking it public now, very recently, just a few months back. And there's one thing that's been consistent is the consistency. And the consistency is just keeping my head down and keep moving forward. It doesn't mean that I haven't fell on my face, man. Did I just say falled? Man, this is like a crazy day, right? You ever catch yourself doing that? Like
always.
Some words come out of your mouth. I'm like, that's not a word, man. That's like the little gremlin goes inside of my head. I know, right? Exactly. For sure. It's but that's the thing. And I hope everybody can pick that up, you know, because all in to me, I always leave this definition, right? All in to me is not being able to give 100% every single day. All in is giving 100% of what you have on that day. If you have a crappy day, dude, you know, even if you're hungover the night before, you just had a bad week, you know, a fight or whatever, you come in with that 40%. As long as you're given that entire 40% that day, you're still all in. And that's the consistency that I'm talking about, is that when you bring that every single day, you do what you can do every single day. That's being all in, man.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love that. And being able to pour into whatever that craft, that mission, or that vision that you're working towards, it's day in and day out. And I love the fact that you said inevitable, because last post of 2023 for Modern Man, I posted a picture of me podcasting. And I mentioned it was all a dream. I started the post with, it was all a dream. And I went through just everything I've been doing, everything I'm planning for 2024, and how I'm going to continue these conversations. And the last thing I said in the post was, it's no longer a dream. It's inevitable. So the synergy of this is just too good to match. But the biggest thing I love doing is pulling back the curtains a little bit, because a lot of times folks are listening and they see two talking heads and they're like, good for them, right? They seem to have it figured out, all that. But the end of the
you're
race
right about
is
that
not...
perspective.
Yeah.
That, we hear that all the time, right?
Yeah, you must have it all figured out. You're just, oh, lucky you, must be nice. But the reality is, I always say, like, how you finish the race isn't always how the race started. And how you start the race is not how you finish the race. So, and I know for you, rock bottom to CEO, right? That come up story, help bridge that gap for anyone that might be listening who wants to kind of discredit the empathy or the perspective and understanding that we might have for that buildup, right? What was that like from the start? How did you get to where you are now? And what words of wisdom would you give to anybody who's looking at their personal rock bottom, looking to climb?
Yeah, I don't know if anybody, it's interesting you say that, like the rock bottom, because I mean, it's kind of picturesque, isn't it? And I know even in like my bio that goes out sometimes, it's like, it's the true American dream story, you know, and I see that. And while, yeah, okay, sure it is, right? Coming from a family that was never financially well off, meaning like next to no money whatsoever, where my mom watched other kids in the house, like ran a daycare with six kids to just help ends meet. My dad only making maybe tops 40K a year, selling insurance, term life insurance policies in the ghetto. Yeah, it was always a struggle with dollars growing up. I mean, my dinners consisted, I remember this, right, of like banquet fried chicken and Salisbury steak. My nutrition was never great, or the occasional spaghetti with meat sauce. You know, it was always like the inexpensive, cheap food, you know, and I'd start downing milk. That's how I got my protein in my teens. It's like, how did I survive? I look back, it's like, oh, we went through like a family of five. We would go through 5 gallons of milk a week. Even in my teens, it's like, that's what I would drink. It would be like two and three 16 ounce glasses of milk with my dinner, because there literally was not that much food that was sitting there at the table. It's like, I'm still hungry. Imagine that, dude. I mean, we're men, right? This is the modern man. We're men. I got a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old right now that eat a shit ton. Everything that comes, like, imagine that. It's like, how do you fill yourself up when you're a teen? It's like, for me, it was milk. And that's just because that's what my family could afford. It was 99 cents a gallon back at the time when I was a teenager. Completely unlike what it is right now, you know, so they just buy it up. That's what I would fill up on. So all the way you fast forward, it's like public company, 8 figures in revenue, you know, to where we are right now, where I am right now. There's a lot of in between. There's a lot of rough spots in between, like my dad passing when I was 16. There's a lot of, you know, getting laid off at the same time my twins were born. So literally like $0 coming in is when I went off on my own. I still wouldn't say that I was an entrepreneur at that point. And I think this might be the first time I've ever made that distinction on a guest, even on my own show, is that when I was laid off from Best Buy, right, working with Geek Squad previously and then B2B, when I was laid off, at that point, I was just trying to make ends meet. So I was like an independent guy. I would not call myself an entrepreneur at that point, because I moved from that even into a business owner. And I don't call business owners entrepreneurs.
What's the deal?
Business owners. Exactly. Business owners are just running a shop. They're just there really for, it's like a lifestyle for them. I'm going to provide myself income. I understand the essentials of having other employees. I have to make payroll. I have these other expenses. I'm just running a business and we'll see where it goes, versus becoming an entrepreneur. I mean, sometimes having 27 new ideas just in the shower every single morning, but truly trying to build something that outlasts you, which gets into legacy. And that's the point that I'm at right now. So it was kind of this evolutionary journey. The only consistency that stayed the same throughout this whole thing is, one, change; two, hardship; three, hard fought battles.
Yeah.
And now I'm at the point to where I look back, it's like, cool, how can I teach people my mistakes so that they can maybe accelerate their own process? What took me 10 years could maybe take somebody else too, just because of what I learned, if they choose to listen. You know?
Yeah. That's the hard part, the listening part.
Yeah, it sure is. Yep, you got it. But that that rock bottom that you talked about, to bookend your question or your comment there, was when I was laid off, right? When my twins were born, to where it was legit no dollars coming in whatsoever. Landed my first client within about a week or two. You gotta hustle when you got nothing coming in, dude. For real. Like literally nothing. And you have to buy formula for your kids. You know, especially when you have twins, you know, all of a sudden a family of two is a family of four. You have a mortgage, you know, even that part. It's like, there were times to where I ran an extension cord over the balcony, because it was a condo, down to like the landscaping outlet, because my power got shut off a few times. Couldn't turn it back on because I didn't have the money for a couple of days, and just to keep whatever was in the refrigerator cold. That way we didn't lose food, because losing food meant having to spend more money. That was a rough time for about 6 months, but that's all it was, dude.
Yeah.
And I look back at that, it was like 6 months. And at the same time, it's, I don't know how, and I'm looking deep inside right now. It's a good day, man. As we're talking here, it's like, I'm looking deep inside right now, and I don't know how individuals can just stop, you know, and get into this mode to where it's like I mean, people will call it the victim mentality, but if you look around you and you've got people that you have to care for, you know, whether they're your kids or now, you know, almost 100 employees, I look at it the same way. It's like, I still care for them.
Yeah.
And I don't understand how you can sit around and be like, woe is me, this sucks, what am I going to do? There is no questioning what you're going to do. There's only doing at that point. That's it. No matter what it is, there needs to be activity. There needs to be action. That's the only way you generate anything.
I'll say this, and it could be a hot take, but I do feel like it's it's selfish to sit in that and not move, to your point, right? Yeah. It's like to look around and say, hey, imagine you get laid off and you sit there like, well, I lost my job. It's not my fault. Well, but sure, this is the reality, but what do we do here? And I always do the baby on the doorstep analogy of responsibility versus fault. If someone knocks on the door and there's a baby on your doorstep, that's not your fault. But what happens next to that baby is your responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
And are you going to make the calls? Are you going to find a home for it? I'm not saying adopt the baby, but what is the game plan? Where do we go from here? And I'm a big proponent of look at the lay of the land, look at the playbook, look at what's out of bounds, what's in bounds, what tools you have, and then where you want to go, and then build a plan and execute. And it sounded like within a week or two, you were starting to execute, even though you say you still weren't the entrepreneur, but you were the go-getter. You were the hustler who knew
for sure
where I'm at is not where I'm staying.
Yeah. And it has to be that way. You know, and I don't know. I can't put myself in the mind of other people when mm-hmm. when they're that way, when they're like exactly what you're saying. It's like, oh, it's not my fault. And it's like, well, it may be, you know, and there's a lot of coaches out there, you know, I mean, even Tony Robbins, like where you're at is where you put yourself. Right. And so, well, some of that's true. Some of that absolutely is true, but there are things that do happen to you in life. You know, and I love Tony's message and everything. I've never met him in person, but it's like life's happening for you, not to you. You know, and that's, I believe in that fully. You know, when my dad passed though, like a scenario like that, right? 16 years old, even him, it's like, there's nothing that he did in order to get the leukemia that he had. Yeah. It was a genetic thing where the chromosome flips at conception. Right. When the sperm meets the egg, that was predestined because it's a genetic thing. It's called the Philadelphia chromosome. You know, had no idea he had it until the leukemia hit in his mid 40s.
Yeah.
And then it's like, that's not something that you created on your own. Just like my dad passing, right? That was like almost like a ripple effect for me. It's like, I didn't create that. You might have created at some point your job being eliminated, right? Or being a part of the people that were let go versus part of the people that were allowed to stay, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that still wasn't necessarily a decision of yours, especially when you're a high producer, high performer like I was.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different scenario. But what happens after that point is completely up to you. There's a lot of things. I think, you know, if you had to throw a number, maybe 9 out of 10 times, right? Things in your life that you actually create, the issues you are in right now, 9 out of 10 times you probably made your own bed and now you're sleeping in it. Mm-hmm. Still that 10% stuff can happen to you, man. I mean, those are like called acts of God, right?
Yeah.
Driving down the road. I remember when I was 19 years old and this deer, while I'm going 70 miles an hour on the interstate, jumps in front of my car and totals the car. You think I created that situation? I don't think so. It's like insurance literally said, like literally called it an act of God. No joke. my car insurance company, that stuff happens. I mean, sure, you could look at it as a negative, you know, and I'm not putting God down by any means. You know, he's my source, dude. Everything I live for is given to me by him. But those acts of God, right, are just things that you can't explain, things that you didn't create. They just happen.
Yeah.
And that's just how it is. And now your only responsibility is what to do next with that.
Yeah. Speaking of doing next, you mentioned scaling the business and going public, which congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Now, as things ramped up, and I'm talking the process from losing your job, getting your first few clients, then founding Reach Out to building it up, at what point did you have that competence feel where you knew this thing not only was growing and you had the capacity to grow it, but you knew this thing could, like you mentioned with entrepreneurial legacy status, this thing could outlive you. When did that hook sink in?
Yeah, it's like the inevitability, you know, and it probably sunk in after I was really, really sick in 2015. I had a gangrenous gallbladder, another thing, like didn't happen. Like I did nothing to cause that thing. It was just a bad organ inside of me. Mm-hmm. Almost killed me. Mm-hmm. In that process, coming out of it, it's like, well, wait a second here. You know, I've been doing this lifestyle business for a long time. And I take a look back. I've mentioned this on many other interviews, is that people say they have a difficult time celebrating things. And this ties into that. It's like the reason I have trouble celebrating things is because when I can look back, I can look at all my activities, all my actions that led up to that point. And a coach helped me realize this. You know, I'm like, well, I knew I can't celebrate. I need to stop. And like in the moment and everything, like, well, why do you need to for you? I recognize I need to for people around me, right? Because it's what a lot of people thrive off of, words of affirmation. We need to stop in the moment, celebrate those things. That's great. And I still do to some extent, but that moment of like, oh, we made it, right? Is usually a moment of like, okay, we're done, finish line, right? Yeah. And for me, it's never that because I know there's more to do forward, because if we made it this far, that means we can do even more, no problem. But getting to this point is that word inevitability that we were talking about, because I take a look back and it's like, well, of course I'm in this spot.
Yeah.
Because I take a look back at all my actions and my activities, even though I might've had no idea what the hell I was doing, man. You know, and just learning as I go and getting it done, that of course I'm in this spot. I knew I would get here, and I know that I am here because of everything I've done leading up to here.
Yeah.
So that's the inevitability. So when you talk about building legacy and how I'm able to continue and make that shift coming out of that illness that I had, that bad organ when it was ripped out of me, looking back, it's like, well, I made it this far. You know, I'm clearly not meant to be off the planet at this point. It's inevitable that I've been successful to this time period in a lifestyle business. If I just still apply the same consistency and I just change my direction that I want to go, like now, where do I want to go? So the only thing I had to do was growth. It's like, why am I doing this? Why am I in business for myself? Am I in it just for myself, or am I in it to build something that's bigger than myself? And which of those do I want? And by the way, there's not a bad answer to that. People can think that you're selfish and say like, I'm in this for myself, right? Building a business. It's like, sure, you got a family you provide for them and everything else, but it's just like anybody else that has a job, bro. And that's that distinction, right? Between a business owner and an entrepreneur. The only difference between a business owner and an employee is that you really don't have a boss. That's it. Otherwise, you're doing the same thing. You're still working a job in order to get money, in order to have an income. It's the same scenario. And you're doing that for yourself, right? And to provide for those loved ones if you have a family, whatever. But there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing. The other choice is like, am I doing this for other people? And that's when you cross over into that word entrepreneur, in my opinion, in my humble opinion. That's where we cross over into that word entrepreneur and be like, what can I build that's a legacy? Not just for me, but that everybody else that comes around me.
If iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. But if you're a man and you're alone or listening to this, then who sharpens you? What's going on, guys? Ted Thayton here, host of the Modern Man Podcast, also founder of the Noble Knights Mastermind Group. And I'm just out here encouraging you to find your circle. Maybe you're on a personal growth journey and nobody around you understands the new mentality that you're possessing. That's okay. You can find an online community that will pour into you, will navigate your goals and navigate your obstacles, share their experiences, resources, and more. Join the Noble Knights Mastermind Group and try us out for free to tap into a community of men helping each other scale up and reach their goals. Check out themodernmanpodcast.com.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love it, man. And you mentioned with that entrepreneurship being the intentionality behind it. I don't know too many successful people who landed there by accident, right? That inevitability. Yeah. There was a plan. There's an
execution. It's a choice, man.
They went for it. And you have to. You have to go for it if you really want to get there. Now, I love how you mentioned all in early on. You said all in is giving 40% if you have 40% that day, 100% if you have 100% that day, because there could be a dark side. There could be the excessiveness to if someone is just doing too much. Have you ever felt that or experienced that where, quite frankly, someone has to kind of pull you to the side and be like, this isn't sustainable? Or maybe you come to that realization yourself, yeah, this isn't sustainable. Because I know for myself, I was guilty of this. And even to a lot of the men listening, I think of when I was in my 20s, man, I had a lot higher testosterone levels. I was fit. I could drink till 4 a.m.
Look pretty good now, man.
Still go. And yeah, I appreciate it. I'm trying to fight this clock. But the 25-year-old energy that I had was all gas, no brakes. And as I got a little older, I had to get a little bit more graceful with the application of that energy and where I dispersed it. What did that look like, I guess, from your experience? What words of caution would you give to some of the guys listening, some of the younger guys listening, who have all the energy in the world, who want to go all in, all gas, no brakes, and they aren't maybe prepared for the curves and the reality of life that might hit?
Yeah, you got it. Some of these might be some interesting sound bites coming up, some things that divide people. I hope you're ready for it.
Please.
As you look back, you might relate to me in this aspect of things, because the only times when I've actually felt that this is too much, like somebody need to pull me to the side, like you're talking about, is when I've forced things. Now, that doesn't mean, or forced an outcome, that doesn't mean that the efforts, like even going public, right? Dude, hard ass work. You know, even going through the audit process, because you immediately have to do an audit afterwards for the SEC, you know, hard ass work. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of burning that candle at both ends, to use that old cliche. Still, that was never forcing it, because it was like a natural outcome of the work that was being put in. There's some things that are meant for you and some things that aren't. And this is where I said it's going to get divisive, right? I think that I might be an okay carpenter if I ever tried to get into that field. At the same time, I'm not going to be a super talented person. I'd be a little concerned that my cabinets are going to fall off the wall when I mount them, you know, or that there's going to be gaps around. It's like, I am not meant to do that, right? If you take a look at like the fastest runners in the world, and this is where it comes down to, like, if I wanted to be that and wanted to run the 400 the fastest, it's like, first off, I'm not black and I'm not from Kenya, right? I'm a white Irish dude. I'm never going to beat the genetics.
Yeah.
And this is where it's like that divisiveness that I was talking about. It's like, there are just some things that are not meant for you. And that's good, because they're meant for other people. And it also is good, because those other people mean what is for them is going to be completely different than what's for you. So things that are not for them might be for you. And that's why there's this ecosystem that exists. And I can make it sound all lovey-dovey, you know, but I mean, I think about my kids. It's like that phrase. It's like that you hear parents say, oh, you can be anything you want to be. No, you can't. You cannot be anything you want to be, right? You have certain talents, certain God-given abilities that are yours, and things that you can hone even further, because you've got talent in these areas. You can get even better, like a Michael Jordan, for example, right? He had great talent, but the reason he was so good is because he put time in every single day, and he was one of the hardest workers that there was in the game of basketball, just like Kobe. Very similar as far as the amount of ethic that they put into their work and getting to that level of game that they played.
Yeah.
Now, for everybody else, like my kids, it's like, that's awesome. You want to try all these things, by all means, try all of them and find out what's for you and what's not for you. And the decision for what's for you and not for you is not how much work you need to put into it. Mm-hmm. Because that comes back to your question about how you get burned out and you're going all in on these things. You can go all in the wrong areas, and that's where you fuck up. Because that area might not have ever been meant for you in the first place. That's what you have to decide. It's like, am I doing this? And you can come back to like ego, right? Because a lot of people, like if you wanted to be MJ, right? I do that because I grew up in the teens. I saw both of his three-peats. I can reference him. I will never, ever be that good in basketball, although I love the game. You know, I was really good at baseball, played 9 years, really loved the game. It's like, I maybe could have played in college. I maybe could have gone to like semi-pro because I was good. I don't think I could have been a pro ball player by any means, because I would have stopped at a certain point that I was given. I learned a lot about the game. I apply it to business now, but that's something that just wasn't for me. If I went all in on that, I could have rotted in like a AAA league and then been broke and then going to, I don't know, being like a paper pusher at some data processing company or something like that. It was just never meant for me to be that. And I'm okay with that, because there's other people that are out there that are entertaining people and hitting balls over the fence a lot more than what I could.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of areas, man, but that's when you're crossing the line, is when you're trying to force it. It doesn't mean hard work, doesn't mean hone your talents and your abilities and keep tuning yourself to go after what you want, but you cannot be anything that you want to be. You are meant to be everything you're supposed to be.
100%. And I've told this story on the podcast before. When I was little, I wanted to play football, and I actually resented my parents for a while because they didn't let me play football until I enrolled in football by myself. And my senior year of high school, I was 135 pounds, soaking wet, 5'7", and didn't try out for college football, D1 football, because I was too small. And I always held a little bit of resentment to my parents until I'm working in TV and I'm covering Clemson football the year they won the national championship. And I remember on the sidelines, I called my mom after the game and I said, "Mom, I have an apology to give you. These boys are bigger than me and I'm a grown ass man." And these college kids, like, I would have been dead if I went out there. But the irony there, Rick, is being in TV, working with the team at the time and anchoring, they win the national championship. They brought the national championship trophy to our studio. I'm sitting right next to it. I would never get close to a national championship trophy if I went the football route like I wanted. I'm sitting down. Clemson has their game day parade. I'm sitting there talking to Woody Dantzler, who played for the Cowboys, and talking to these NFL players who played for Clemson who are celebrating the win. I'm in it. I'm part of the celebration. I would never get there if I went the football route that I wanted. So to your point, if I had tried to be an NFL football player, I would have fallen flat on my face. But being that I have the gift of gab and a bit of charisma and somewhat of a random personality that people tend to enjoy, I lean into what I'm good at, which is being on TV, hosting a podcast. And that has gotten me so much farther in life than football would have ever gotten me.
Right on. Right on. Even like the way people's brains are made, right? It's this could be taken totally the wrong way, as if I'm calling some people stupid and some people like brilliant, right? It's that's not it at all. It's like, if you think you're going to be, I don't know, you're going to be an engineer with Tesla as a great modern example, right? You think that you're going to come up with the best battery to get the longest range and all that. What if your brain is not meant to think that way? Yeah, some like the engineers, if you want to be an engineer with Tesla, you want to be able to create these amazing things. If your brain's not wired that way, you know, maybe you're better off taking a look at the vehicle itself and being like, cool, maybe we could make this thing look a little bit better. You know, what are some of the fine tunings we can do in the interior of the car? Maybe we can put some stitching there. Maybe we can make the steering wheel a little bit of a different shape and make it look pretty cool. Maybe we can, you know, turn the screen like they actually did, right? Instead of being portrait, maybe we can make it landscape, and that might be something there. So like the visual acuity might be your thing, or maybe the message saying what Tesla's good at, you know, versus other electric vehicles. Now you're talking marketing. Yeah. It's just different way people's brains are wired, and it has nothing to do with IQ. That's very, very real too. You probably need a higher IQ to be an engineer on a battery with Tesla than you do to be a CMO for Tesla, chief marketing officer, but they're both going to make a crap ton of money. It doesn't matter who's smarter than who. It's just what you were meant to be, who you were meant to be, and who you were specifically meant to help.
Yeah. Identifying who you're meant to help, really quick, coming towards the end of the podcast, I know with your company Reach Out, we haven't spoken about cybersecurity on the podcast before. So I'd love to kind of give the time that we have left on a little bit of the nuggets that anyone listening can pick up from, learn from. So what is it about cybersecurity that most of us don't know that we probably should pay more attention to?
Yeah, I always talk about passwords as one of the biggest things. You know, yeah. It was just on News Nation a little bit ago. You can look all this up online too. It's talking about how some dude was stealing the iPhone update's out now to fix that. It comes out with stolen device protection. So everybody needs to do that if you haven't downloaded it yet. But this dude was going into bars for the most part and saying, you know, making friends with women that are there and be like, give me your phone. I'll put my contact info in. They just hand it over, right? They'd unlock it, hand it over. And he'd be like, oh, wait, it locked. What's your passcode? And most would just like blurt out what their passcode is. In 5 to 10 seconds, he would change face ID on those phones so he could get back into it, change the iCloud password so only he had access to it. And as long as you have face ID on an iPhone, you could open up like Bank of America, Chase, Wells Fargo, all those other apps without a password because it scans his face. Wow. And he was stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars. So those are the biggest things. It's like, first, don't give your password or your passcode to anybody. And I speak about this online. It's like, not even your partner, your spouse, your girlfriend, boyfriend, whoever, don't give it to them either. And it has nothing to do with trust. It has everything to do. It's like need to know access. there's so many features on these things to allow the right people to do what they need to do for emergency contacts and making sure you're safe, all of that without having to do a passcode, because somebody else is still going to be human. Humans are the biggest issues, especially with passwords that exist in cybersecurity. Yeah. We can only go so far with the tools, man, to protect against the stealth and hackers when the problem is actually looking at you right back in the mirror.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I always say, what's that quote? The three people can keep a secret if two of them are dead.
Yeah, right on. So, dude, I've never heard that before. That's brilliant. I'm going to steal that.
That's yours. It's not mine to give, but yeah, two people can keep a secret.
Even with the passcode. Yeah, yeah. Like even with your partner, it's like sometimes they could just blurt out, or even worse, like they could be like, oh, I'm just going to change it to match. That way we know each other's and that's the same. Well, that's cool. But then what if they're in a lapse of judgment scenario and they just hand over their phone and they give somebody that passcode? Now that person has the same passcode as what's on your phone. Yeah. They know it. Yeah. Yeah. It's like Netflix. It's like that. That's great. But if you give somebody your Netflix password, the problem is most people, over 90%, use the same password or a very small change in it across everything. And I'm sure you're thinking right now, it's like, oh, what's the same password in my life? Is Netflix and my bank account close to the same password?
Yeah.
A lot of people's is. You know, so that's the use unique passwords. So when I come to that, it's like two things: use a password manager. Second is use two-factor authentication, where you have to use an authenticator app to give you a one-time code or a text message, whatever that is. Those are the two biggest things. Use different unique passwords using a password manager, and then use two-factor authentication.
I love that. That's something I had to learn the hard way when my Instagram got hacked. I was just south of 10,000 followers, and it was one of the phishing emails. They made it look like Instagram sending me an alert that I'm going to get my account closed unless I appeal it. And of course, I follow the link, get to a website that looks like Instagram, put in my login info. But the next email I receive is, congratulations, you've changed your password, you've changed your email, and I'm out of my own account, even from that lapse of judgment. So that has happened to me, and I never got that account back.
It's gone. Right on. You make an important and relevant point here, too, because there's a lot of entrepreneurs listening right now, right?
Yeah.
A lot of male entrepreneurs. If you ever work with a growth agency or social media management company or some kind of branding agency, and they ask for your password to Instagram or any of your other social profiles, run away fast. Mm-hmm. There are ways, if they are a legitimate agency, there are ways to set it up, which we do. Like, I've got an internal team and I have one external person managing my growth. But everybody's set up properly in Meta Business Manager so that they have access to my profiles, yet they don't have the password to get in like I would. They can post, they can respond to comments, they can look at DMs, everything they're supposed to do with that in a very structured and secure process using Meta Business Manager. Even my posting is through a third-party app called Loomly that I'm not affiliated with them, but there's different users on my team that are in Loomly. And they go in and they post this M, right? And then it just goes onto my profile. So I still approve, by the way, I still approve 90% of my posts. You know, I see everything. I look at all the captions, everything. Even though I've got a great team that writes a lot for me, I'm still on there. I'm still on my stories. I'm still on my DMs. I'm still writing most of the stuff myself too. It's something that I like to. But cybersecurity wise, man, there's ways to structure this up. And entrepreneurs, do not ever give your Instagram password away.
That is huge. And I know that's going to be valuable for a lot of the people listening in. You mentioned going public and even kind of back to some of that entrepreneurial mindset. And when we look at what's inevitable and where you're going, a lot of entrepreneurs listening right now are working on scaling their business. They're working on gaining more clientele, finding more leads. What they're looking at is preparing their business for what's in front of them. How do you prepare a business for the scalability, for what hasn't arrived yet, for what might be 2-3 years down the line, but make sure that the infrastructure is built properly to sustain that growth, much that, like I imagine, ReachOut is experiencing after going public.
Yeah, we've gone from lower 7 figures to 8 figures in revenue and going public in just a very short period of time. And prior to that, when it was a lifestyle business, I had a coach, and this is a piece of advice that is not mine. I did not create it, but they did. And they told me this, like, Rick, when you're doing $100,000, just starting out, right? You need to start making decisions as if you're a $500,000 company. when you're a $500,000 company and a situation comes up, make the decision as if you were a $1 million company. When you break the seven figure mark, you do all of your choices you make are if, as if you're an eight figure company. Mm-hmm. And now that we've crossed that eight, like mentally, I'm starting to think, okay, every decision I make, the people I need to put in place, the routes we go, the tools we use, every single process that we establish is going to be as if we're a nine-figure company. Mm-hmm. Always look that one step ahead and make your choices as if you were already there.
I love that. And I can say from experience, I'm not looking at nine figures yet, inevitable, but
right on.
Preparing systems and processes has been amazing when it comes to when I first took on a team. What is the process of posting your podcast and editing? I had it systemized and documented. If I did not have that, I can't hire a team. I'm not ready to outsource like so many people are ready. So you are so right in making the decisions ahead of where you want to be, because even now I'm building up more automation and processes in my business for the anticipation of more clients, more clientele, and more staff. And if I don't have that set up before they come, I'm pretty much going to have the party without the food and everyone's going to be starving. Last couple minutes here as we close out, where can folks find you, connect with you, Rick, and follow up on all the things that you have coming and even read up more on Reach Out and everything that you've been doing?
Yeah, you got it. The best place that'll branch out if you're looking at, I'm at Mr. Rick Jordan on all social platforms. I'm most active these days in TikTok. From a business perspective, I'm active on LinkedIn, of course. But then rickjordan.tv is my website. That'll give you everything about Reach Out, give you everything about me. It's kind of like a spider web. It goes out. You'll find my podcast, too. Or you know what, dude? Just Google me, Rick Jordan. It's right there on page. You'll see everything.
You're not hard to find, man. I did the whole deep dive. Last question really quick while we have the last couple minutes here. The last minute here is what is something that happened to you that shapes the way you view the world as a man?
Dude, it's most definitely my dad and how he treated my mom, for real. Mm-hmm. Because an amazing, amazing marriage. Just the way that he was able to bring leadership and establish a strong family foundation for me was absolutely incredible. And it's something that I'm very grateful for. I only knew him 16 years of my life, but it's something that it was very noticeable even during those 16 years. You are the role model for your kids, whether you realize it or not. Don't abdicate your responsibility to school officials, to employers, whoever, friends. Take your role. Even if you're working all day, every day, take your role and take it seriously with your kids.
I love it. Founder, CEO, personality, and speaker, Rick Jordan, I appreciate you being on. Really quick, I'm just going to recap the things that you left along the way. Inevitable, if you have that plan, you execute each and every single day. Your goal, your vision, your legacy is inevitable. Give what you have. All in isn't 100% every day. All in is 100% of what you have each day. If it's 40%, give every bit of that 40%. Change, hardship, hard-fought battles, the things that have been constant through Rick's growth from rock bottom to CEO, and we're never done. You can celebrate those wins, and maybe it's more so for the people around you than for yourself, but continue to go further, because if you celebrate the wins, that kind of signifies the end. We're not done. We keep on growing. Are you forcing it? If you find that you're trying to fit a square peg in a round hole, you're feeling that burnout, that exhaustion, maybe you're not playing into your gifts. You can't be anything that you want, but you are meant to be everything that you were meant to be. And keep in mind that you have to lean into your gifts in order to find it. Last but not least, use a password manager, two-step authentication. Take your cybersecurity seriously. Stop having the same password for your bank account, Netflix, and everything else, and giving it to everybody. Be smart, and especially if you are hiring a team to take on other people to manage your social accounts, make sure you do it properly through the Meta Business Manager, and run away if they ask for your password. Rick, thank you so much. We appreciate the time. We appreciate you rocking with us through the episode, man. To the audience.
Thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, this has been fantastic, brother. And I want to make sure the audience connects with you too. Audience, thank you for making it to the end. We truly appreciate it. You know, I'm going to ask that you share this with a friend that will also get value from it. Hit that like button, subscribe button for a new episode each and every single week, and leave us a rating to let us know how we're doing. That's the only way we can improve and get better for you. Appreciate you guys as always. And as we always say at the end of the episode, everybody wants the sunshine, but they don't want the rain. But you can't get the pleasure without first the pain. Let's grow.
Let's get past it today. I think we're gonna do a great job.